Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hour number two with you here on a beautiful but very warm Saturday afternoon here in the great city of Atlanta, in the great state of Georgia. You are listening to Chris Thomas with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, taking you all the way up until 6:30 and Atlanta United pregame with Joe Patrick filling in for our buddy Abe Gordon, who we just spoke to, and Garrett Chapman coming your way then. So we'll chat with those guys a little bit later as we get closer to the start of the pregame. But for right now, I'm talking to you at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929, because Landry Fields had another press conference, and those things seem to produce a mind-boggling quote or two every single time he addresses the assembled media. This time, we played it for you a couple times in the first hour. We'll play it again later in the show. He was asked by WSB-TV and friend of the show, Allison Mastrangelo, about Trae Young. And she asked him point blank, is Trae Young in the cards for the future of the Hawks? And instead of saying, he's our franchise player, we just traded DeJounte Murray, we're rebuilding around him, he's the face of the franchise, he said, well, you see, the thing with that is, maybe? Kinda? Not? I don't know. So I just basically paraphrased 15 seconds of him rambling and stumbling over himself, trying to answer whether or not Trae Young is a part of the future. So that led me to thinking, which sometimes is a good thing, most times it's not a good thing, but I think I discovered what would be a good topic for today's show. And we took a lot of great phone calls in the first hour, and I'm going to get back to you right here in just a sec. 404-726-0929. Here's the question. Okay, Landry, if you're not going to double down on Trae Young being a part of this franchise long term, how about we move him? Because I asked E in the first hour of the show, producer Eric Slaughter, if I set the over-under at 42.5 wins for the Hawks, what do you take? And he said, under. And I agree. So if that's where you are as a franchise right now, then why not just make the move? Like, are you just going to continue to peddle in mediocrity until Trae Young inevitably demands a trade? It's what it kind of sounds like, because you didn't make any big moves in the free agency market. You offloaded DJ. You brought back a completely insufficient package, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are touting the first-round picks that came back, but a caller smartly pointed out in the first hour, those picks are probably going to be like 15, 14, maybe 13. You guys, how many get E? Let me ask you this. Do you think the Lakers are going to miss the playoffs this season?
I do not.
Okay.
They may be just above the play-in line, but they're not going to miss the playoffs.
Okay, so that means you're getting like the 15th pick.
Yeah, middle first round.
So, okay, great. Where does that put you next year? I mean, are you banking on, you know, this player turning into the next Nikola Jokic? A guy drafted in the middle of the round that just blossoms? I know there's other examples of good players in the league now that were drafted in the middle of the first round, and not every...
You over-exaggerate, because Nikola Jokic was 41.
Yeah, he was...
Hoping for Paul George, who was in the middle of the first round.
Right.
Even Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard was in the middle of the first round. Yeah, the league is littered with examples of guys who were good picks in the middle of the first round. But on average, come on. What are we talking about here? For every Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, there's 50 guys that don't work out. I mean, that are picked in the... But to be fair, there are also an overwhelming majority of lottery picks that also don't work out.
Yeah, the Stormont Smiths of the world.
Right,
the,
you know, you get, for every Ant-Man, there's a Kwame Brown right around the corner waiting for you. So,
good pull, young man.
So I mean, I get it. It's a crapshoot, but that's what we're talking about today. So what are you doing if you're the Hawks right now? 404-726-0929. Bobo's out in Rome. Bobo, what do you think?
Hey, man. How y'all doing today?
What's up, Bobo?
You know, my opinion, and it's just my opinion, and I know my opinion doesn't matter to nobody, but if it seems like to me the Hawks, besides Trey and the new guy we just drafted,
Risa Shea,
maybe Jalen Johnson, everybody else, nobody would start on another roster. Like, they would all be bench role players. And that's what the problem to me is. I feel like our top guys at the Hawks, they're not doing a real good job bringing in the people that we need.
Right, Bobo. With that said, are you okay with trading Trae Young?
I love Trae, personally, but I feel like for the Hawks' best interest, they should trade him. Because I feel like as long as he's here, they're just going to keep settling for mediocrity.
Yeah, Bobo, good points. I appreciate the phone call. Grab a line at 404-726-0929. That's kind of the point, right? If the arrow could be pointed in three different directions, right? It could be pointing up, down, or it could be flat. Right now, in my opinion, the Hawks are flat. They're not going to be in a position to improve much from last year with the roster that they have now. Unless Risa Shea just becomes something that, you know, even from what we saw last night, he's got a lot of game, but he's going to be a work in progress. He's also really slight. So they need to get that kid in the weight room ASAP. Like, you could tell that Alex Saar is just a bigger body. He's also pretty slim, but I think he could bang a little bit better than Risa Shea can in the NBA right now. Not that that's what you're asking him to do, but you need to be able to hold your own no matter what position that you play. And that's been a problem, let's face it, for Trae Young his entire career. Remember what happened, E, in that Miami game a couple of years ago? They swarmed him, and he couldn't do anything. He got completely collapsed. He was made useless.
Well, that's also what happens when you got a 6-foot point guard who's your main scorer. I picked 4, 5, 6, 7 guys on him. Guess what? He can't even pass over us.
And that's what happened. And that's why you lost the game. So then the strategy was, let's try to fix that. But it didn't work because you don't have the right guys on the team to help him. That's why everybody thought DeJounte Murray was going to be such a perfect fit, because he provides the yang to Trae's ying. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he's got a huge wingspan. I mean, DJ had some of the longest arms I'd ever seen in the NBA.
They just dangle.
Yeah, man. So you thought that would have been perfect, but for whatever reason, it just didn't work. All right, 404-726-0929. Calhoun's in the A. Calhoun, what do you think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I feel like the league has kind of figured the Atlanta Hawks front office out. That's why we get fleeced for a DJ trade. And when we try to trade him away, we don't get close to what we gave up for him. Anybody that we try to trade, we're not going to get the value for him, because I feel like the league understands that the front office don't know what they're doing, what type of direction we're headed in. We're in Trey's prime years. If he stays here with the Hawks, and I'm a big Trae fan, if he stays here with the Hawks, we're going to waste his years away, man. If I'm Trae, I'm standing on the tabletop requesting a trade. I understand why Alex Starr didn't want to work out for the Hawks. This is an organization with no direction. So I think his agents actually saved him from the future. Until we get some more people in the front office, I think we'll be in peril for the next while.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
Got it, Calhoun. Appreciate you checking in as always, my man. 404-726-0929. Couple of things, though, Calhoun. The front office, unless we are all, you know, being led in a different direction here, it seems like they're going to be here. Seems like upper management is cool with the way lower management is handling things right now. Now, Calhoun, you obviously disagree. I disagree, quite frankly. And I also haven't heard many people that agree with the way lower management is handling things right now. But if upper management is okay with it, then they're going to be here. So unfortunately, we are stuck with the guys that we have who are making the decisions. So we have to just cross our fingers and hope that if they were to make a move for Trae Young, that it would be a situation where they would be able to get at least most of what we think he would be worth. Is Trae Young worth 3 first-round picks? I think he is. But what does the league think, right? I mean, you would tend to think that the league probably views Trae Young as 2 first-round picks, maybe, and a player. I mean, I just don't think you're getting – I don't think you're getting 3 first-round picks for Trae Young right now. So you have to be willing to bite the bullet on that. But to Calhoun's point, the alternative is he sits here and riles in mediocrity, and then he gets pissed off and requests a trade. And then you're over the barrel because now he's disgruntled and now he doesn't want to play for you anymore. And maybe he starts lollygagging it on the court a little bit and not trying as hard. And maybe his numbers go down. And now what do you do? Now you're lucky to get 1 first-round pick for him. So it really becomes betwixt in between, damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. But sitting here on your hands and doing nothing is certainly not the way to go about it, in my opinion. I think you make the move now because it seems like it's an inevitable breakup. Like, you're just staying with her. You ever get into a relationship where you know, like, the spark's not there anymore, but you guys are comfortable and you've been together for a while and, you know each other's, you know, ins and outs and what makes the other person tick. And, you know, like, date night is fine, but the glimmer in your eye isn't there anymore like it was in the beginning. You know what I'm talking about?
Every guy listening knows what you're talking about, brother.
Well, that's what Trae Young and the Hawks are right now.
Yeah, you know, because on draft night in that first year, man, look at my girl, man. Yeah. EC5, look at her, man.
And now it's like, you know, you're looking at each other when you wake up in the morning and you haven't brushed your teeth yet and you haven't taken a shower yet and you're just kind of like,
You ever heard the term regular old crackers?
No, I haven't.
You don't know the term? ATL turtle. Get him on Twitter. He don't know what regular old crackers mean. I'll tell him about it. We got one more call.
All right, 404-726-0929. We got Callum in the A. Callum, go ahead.
Hey, y'all. How are you today?
What's up, man?
I think the reason that the Hawks are stuck, like, without direction is just because of, like, the situation we're in. Like, on the trade market, no one wants our players like Hunter, Capella, even Trae Young, to the point where I feel like he'd be deserving of like 5 firsts or something. But you go off the SGA Paul George trade, you go off, I guess, the Mikal Bridges trade. People aren't going to spend a lot of draft picks unless they have a lot in needs. And then, like, when they have done that, most of the time it hasn't worked out when they try to build super teams. So teams that want Trae Young don't have the assets. And teams that do have the assets are just like, oh, but we're not going to get him anyway. Trae Young is someone we should keep. I think sometimes the media gets a little, like, I don't know, the disgruntlety by him. Like, I don't know how mad he'll be at our front office, which hasn't done really anything. But we can't rebuild. The Spurs have all our picks. I mean, what are you going to do when you tank? Give the Spurs a top 5 pick for the next 3 years?
No, but the hope is that you get, and Callum, I appreciate the phone call, got to run just because we're up against the break. The hope is that with the picks you just got back in the DeJounte Murray trade, the picks you would get in a trade for Trae Young, you can at least, you know, swallow the bullet, bite the bullet a little bit on the value you would have gotten from being where you are as a team that's tanking. Hopefully the gap isn't so wide that it makes it an impossibility like Callum was just laying out. I get that. But what is your other option, man? Like, Trae Young, there is a ticking time bomb with Trae Young. I'm convinced of it. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. But how could you be a player that's as good as he is, that's just fine with being on bad teams? Like, how long is this team going to take to develop into what they think it's going to be with the next generation of Kobe Bufkin, who's now out for Summer League, Muhammad Gay, with Nikola Jurcic, with Zachary Risacher? That core is not going to come together and be what they are going to be in 4 years from now. Until then, that's the problem. And where's Trae Young going to be at that point? He's going to be looking at the wrong side of 30 almost. He's going to be 29. So what are you looking at if you're Trae Young? Like, how many more years are you going to go through this? So Do you get what you can for him now? That's the question. All right, great job on the phones, as always. We'll get back to your calls later in the show. Coming up next, he was there last night. Let's ask him. Caleb Johnson, hanging out in Vegas for Summer League. We'll ask him about what he saw from Risa Shea, from Mo Gay, from Nikola Jurcic, and the rest of the crew. Don't go anywhere. Get the inside scoop on the Hawks next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sir, the good news out of Vegas last night is the Hawks didn't win the game, but certainly some positive signs. Real quick before we get to our buddy Caleb Johnson on the WadeFord.com hotline. This just coming in, E. Max Fried, going to be an all-star, replacing the injured Ranger Suarez, or I'm not sure if he's injured or if he's just not making the start. But Max Fried, how about that? Three Braves starters now with Reynaldo and Chris Sale. Headed to the All-Star game, so good for Max. All right, to the matter at hand. Caleb Johnson, what did you see from Zachary Risa-Shea last night?
Well, Chris, I feel like it was all good things. I saw a guy who was not afraid to attempt some threes, and even though they may not have all fallen like he would want them to, I thought the shot selection was really good. Then I saw him go left-handed dunk after he flew past Alex Sarr, and at multiple points in the game, some really good point-of-attack defense. I think there are plenty of things that Zachary Risa-Shea has to work on, but there was just so many promising things that I feel like we saw last night. There was nothing that I saw that made me go like, oh, no. What have the Hawks done taking Zachary Risa-Shea number one? And I think a lot of people wondered about that because Summer League is such a time when everything gets overblown. If you remember when Trae Young was in Summer League back in 2018, when he went out to Utah and then to Vegas, he did not shoot the ball particularly well. And obviously at that point in his career, the defense was pretty abysmal. And so people started making a whole lot of assumptions about him. I think the good thing that happened with Risa-Shea last night is that it was consistent. And the good news for all of us in Atlanta, if you do the comparison of, well, how was Zachary Risa-Shea's first game out versus Alex Sarr's, you'd have to say that Risa-Shea played better. And I think that makes everyone feel pretty good.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I think Risa-Shea displayed a lot more versatility than Sarr, and that's probably why the Hawks chose him number one. At least that's part of the reason that Landry Fields said they did, but we'll get to him in a minute, Caleb, because yikes. But let's talk about something that I thought was a pleasant surprise, and that was the sort of crafty, very high basketball IQ, more than one play from the second-round pick, Jurcic.
Oh, man, Nikola Jurcic is so much fun. First off, he's fun to talk to, which always just makes the job a lot easier. But he is so much fun to watch play. And he's actually someone that a lot of us media members who came out here from Atlanta talked about and said, if there's going to be anyone who really just takes the stage and really kind of shows out during the summer league, it's going to be Jurcic. And this is happening mainly because of the Kobe Bufkin injury, because I think otherwise you might have seen a bit of a different lineup. Juricic might have come off the bench, or just not wouldn't have been the primary ball handler like he was and like he will be, I think, for the rest of Summer League. I think some of the things that caused him to be a second round pick still showed up. The fact that he's still a bit erratic with the ball, and the fact that, you know, sometimes the shot selection is like, okay, maybe don't be the hero and instead pass the ball out, or, you know, try to find something different. But there is a lot to like with Juricic, and just the fact that he has a really high motor. So he's just always on the go, always trying to press. And that shows up on both ends of the floor, as that was the most eye-opening thing, not only for Juricic, but just this Hawks team as a whole in Summer League, is like, man, how much have we talked about this team needs defense, and specifically point of attack defense. And that seemed to look really, really, really good last night, until later in the game when I think Washington got on a little bit of a hot streak, and the Hawks just weren't able to answer quite in the same flow of the game to end things out.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson here, Hawks reporter, who was at the game last night watching Juricic and Zachary Risacher do their thing on the Wade4.com hotline. With you till 6:30, Atlanta United pregame comes your way then. All right, big picture here, Caleb. What are the Hawks doing at the two-guard spot?
Yeah, that's one of those things that I think right now it's Bogey. I think that is going to be the way that they address it in the, you know, immediate future. I'm very curious to see what the Hawks do with Nico, and whether or not this is a guy who sticks around on the roster, or if he's someone that the Hawks decide to stash, which is still, as much as everyone's very excited with, you know, the performance that he's put on and the excitement of what he can bring, there is still a lot of players on this roster. And so, you know, they'd have to make some changes in order for Nico to be on this team. Other than that, I think obviously, you know, you're going to have your Dyson Daniels, you're going to have your Garrison Matthews as a part of this rotation. I think it's not going to have the same lore and the same name recognition that obviously, you know, we saw from DeJounte Murray for a couple, you know, last couple of years. But that doesn't mean that just because his offensive production isn't going to be with this team, that they're going to get significantly worse or anything like that. I think it's just a matter of what you get improvement-wise with Dyson Daniels and his defense. You're still going to get that shooting ability with Bogey, and then these other pieces that are on the team are just going to kind of have to fill in, you know, as they go, and as Quinn Snyder eventually, you know, decides what he wants to do. And then, I mean, there still is, it's very unlikely, but there still is the possibility that the Hawks could sign someone, or that they could trade and get someone who's going to be more in that role, or potentially a backup three or something along those lines. You know, so there's still options on the table. It's just not as exciting as the name recognition that the Jonte had.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room here, Caleb. What the heck did Landry Fields say when he was asked by Allison Mestrangelo of WSB TV about the long-term viability of Trae Young in Atlanta? I'm at a loss for words, so I'll just let you try to explain it to me.
So I'm going to try to bring some rationale to this, and that doesn't mean that is 100% fact of what happened, but this is from my perspective. Being at that press conference when we were talking with Landry Fields, and it was just kind of a general question about what the roster was going to look like, which, of course, at this early juncture, like, Landry is not going to get into any specifics. And Landry is great at GM wordsmithing, you know, of just kind of saying things without actually saying anything. And so Allison, doing her job, just asked specifically of like, well, hey, you know, is Trey Young a part of those plans? And I feel like what I saw from Landry was him just kind of laughing off the idea of like, you know, it's not like he's going to tell us anything groundbreaking in that interview. It's not like he's going to say, well, Trey isn't in our plans anymore, or Trey is 100% in our plans moving forward. And so he just kind of did the GM thing of we value all of our players. And then I think what threw a lot of people off was him referring back to DeJounte, who had, he had been asked about in a previous question. And so people were like, well, wait, if you value DeJounte and you traded him, doesn't that mean that you could potentially trade Trey, which has always been the case? It's just not very likely because what you traded DeJounte Murray for, people have debated of, you know, whether it was good value or not. I believe it is. But after that, trading Trey, I mean, he is the franchise cornerstone. And so that whatever they get in return is going to be under a microscope. My opinion is that I think Trey and the front office, the Hawks front office, are playing chicken with one another. Neither one wants to be the person to come out and say, hey, we want to trade him, or hey, I want to be traded. But I think they mutually want to go that direction at some point, whether it's this summer, whether it's at the upcoming trade deadline once the season begins, once next season is over with. It's just one of those kind of awkward situations where I don't think it's, you know, terribly irreparable or anything like that. It's just, I think we all know what's eventually going to happen. It's just a matter of if it happens right now or not, because there's no real incentive to be in a rush to trade Trey, because the assets that you're going to get, you know, probably further down in the future, maybe you could play up and get something better for him later on, or, you know, because you don't have your pick next year. And that's kind of, you know, this whole thing. So there's no real reason to tank next year like a lot of teams would, because it doesn't help you out with your own personal draft stock. And they've already got, you know, one, maybe two picks if the Kings make the playoffs next year.
Okay. Great explanation. And I appreciate the in-depth analysis that you just gave to the question. But, Landry, I mean, it's just the worst, in my opinion, Caleb, it's just the worst possible message you could send to a fan base, to the media, to Trae Young's camp, when you just turned around and traded DeJounte Murray and you're asked about, as you said, the cornerstone piece of your franchise, and you just stumble for 15 seconds talking about this, that, and the third. Like, lie to me at that point, Caleb. Tell me that Trae Young is the cornerstone of your franchise and that he is the guy that's going to be here long term. And then if you turn around and trade him, so what? We all knew it was going to be on the table anyway. I just can't fathom the rationale behind that choice and the way to answer that question. I simply can't, Caleb.
I think it's one answer in the greater scale of Landry's done a lot of talking about how much they like Trey and how much, you know, they want him to be a part of this organization in the past. I just think that specific instance was one where he was maybe caught a little bit off guard at the, I don't want to say the attempt at a gotcha, but at like at a, are you going to give us, you know, some really in-depth thing right here? Like, you know, yes or no, are you in or out on Trey? And instead, he, like I said, he kind of laughed off. He was smiling the whole time of being like, you know, we value all of our guys. So it was just,
But as the GM, Caleb, and I know you're not answering for them, you're just giving me your opinion on what you think happened. Sure. But as the GM of the team, how can you be caught off guard by that question? You really don't think Landry, Tony Ressler, Steve Koonin, everybody that collectively gets together in those meetings, you didn't think the media was going to ask you about the future of Trae Young in the first public time we're hearing you speak in that way before Summer League since trading DeJounte Murray in the setting that they were in? This was the first time we really, you guys, I know he spoke once before, but this you said was a general meeting about the state of the team and where things are. You didn't think that question was going to be asked? Come on.
I think he just opted for the playing it safe of just being like, we like everyone. That's typical GM kind of thing that, well, now has given us a bunch of fodder to overreact to, I think, quite honestly.
Yeah, and I get it, but I think when all eyes are on you like that, like, we are going to talk about it. Of course we are. Yeah. Like, what, as the media, what do you think we're going to talk? Am I going to talk about the quote where he says that we're in a roster crunch or what he likes about? I'm looking at my cut sheet right now, Caleb, and for those not inside radio, that means the sound that I have available to play throughout the show. Which quote do I care about most? We're in a roster crunch, what he likes about Dyson Daniels, or is Trae Young in the plans for the future of the Hawks? As a radio host, which one am I going to play, right? You know?
Fair. No, it's totally fair. And, I mean, look, I tried to ask about the DeJounte Murray trade and asking, like, did he view that as a failure? And I think he handled that in a very GM way where he was like, oh, no, we don't regret that at all. And actually, we would do that trade again. And I think I don't know that he actually believes that, quite honestly. It's just part of the games that, you know, media and front offices play. And this was the latest one. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the next time that we talk to him, if he is super supportive of Trae once they have completely worked past, like, no deal is going to happen right now. But I think as long as something is potentially on the table and someone could shock Landry and give him a deal, then he goes with these play it safe and say nothing while people think he's saying something. You know, it's just it's a weird game.
Yeah, I know. Are you going to be there for the game on Sunday?
I'll be there.
All right, my friend. Well, in that case, we're looking forward to catching up with you next week. Hopefully more good things from the likes of Risa Shea and Yuricic and Mo Gay and the gang. But for now, it's as the world turns in regards to Landry Fields and the future of Trae Young. Caleb, enjoy it, my friend. Appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. You have a good one.
All right. That is our buddy Caleb Johnson. Listen, and guys, Caleb is just doing his job. He's just speaking, giving his opinion as to why Landry Fields is saying what he's saying. So I'm not frustrated at all with him. I'm just frustrated with the reasoning and the actions of the front office. It's just, I just don't understand. All right. When we get back, we're running late. Let's get E in the mix. Let's get a producer six pack going. 4 sports questions, 2 wild card questions of any kind. It is a beautiful, steamy Saturday afternoon in the A on Sports Radio 929. Hawks are so frustrating. they just are. There's really no other way to put it. We all want them to win. We all want what happened in 2021 to be the standard, not the outlier. We all want Trae Young to be a superstar, but just the decision making and the direction choosing and the lack of spark and energy that the front office has provided the fan base over the last couple of years, it just becomes frustrating because you want to win and you want to see a good competitive product night in and night out. And hopefully with the addition of Yuricic and Risa Shea, you get that next season, whether Trae Young's on the roster or not. But right now, it's an uphill battle. Let's just put it that way. Back to your calls at 404-726-0929 coming up next hour. But right now, let's get some levity and brevity into the program with Producer Sixpack.
Time for the Producer Sixpack on the other side of the glass.
6 questions.
6 questions.
6 chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All righty, let's get this edition of the Producer Six Pack underway, and we're looking forward to this. So, you know, Chris, I'm going to tell you what, man. When me and you make it to the pinnacle, to the top, whatever this career is going to take us, we're going to take a weekend trip one time. We're going to say, hey, man, you know, it's been a while since we've seen each other. Meet me in Baltimore because the Orioles are playing the Yankees, and we're going to sit back. I'm going to take you out for some crab cakes, and then we're going to go to the game and watch a brawl break out.
Yeah, right? How about that?
What's going on with our squads, man?
Yeah, you know? Man. You know, they've been neck and neck for the division all year, and if you missed it, it was a downpour, and the Yankees closer Clay Holmes, pitch got away from him, and it clocked one of the Orioles players in the helmet. It was a scary scene. It was not intentional. It was pouring rain outside, and the pitch got away from him. But the Orioles didn't see it that way, and their entire organization charged at the Yankees. Guys coming out of the bullpen.
I think Cal Ripken and Eddie Berry came out. Brooks
Robinson. I mean that was it was, and then it was Street Fighter from that point on. Man, it was.
I must kill you.
Yeah, go look it up on Twitter or YouTube if you haven't seen it. But that's a, you know what that is? That's saying, you know, I have your number, you have mine. We're probably going to meet in the playoffs, and there's not a lot of good blood. This is not, you know, 10, 15 years ago when the Yankees used to just roll into Baltimore and, you know, sweep them and, you know, take 3 out of 4 like it was just another yawny Saturday morning in Baltimore. The Orioles are damn good. So I think that's just a sign of things to come, E.
Oh, yeah, man. No, look, we had our down years. We've had number one picks that didn't pan out, and now we've got number one picks playing like number one picks. These are all homegrown Orioles draft picks that are young and exciting. It's a great time to be an Orioles fan, and it's always a great time to be a Yankees fan, and I'm half of each, so it's a great time for me. I wish I was just in my hometown and be there at the ballpark tonight to see what fireworks could happen again. All right, roll along on the six-pack. Well, the Braves are closing out the first half on a positive note. Now, Sale is going, I think, tonight. So the announcement just came out that he'll be in Texas on Tuesday, but he is no longer eligible to pitch in the in the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star game. But what do you think about what the Braves are doing as they close out? You know, we are, once again, 10 games over 500 is kind of like our threshold. We can't get to 11 or 12. We go down to 8 or 9, but 10 games over 500 is our number. Is that what we are?
Well, it's interesting because a couple of seasons ago, the same thing kept happening, but it was with 500. So at least now you're talking about 10 games over 500, right? Yeah, I mean, that's about where the Braves are because they're still not a good offensive team. They're relying heavily on their starting pitching, and that's why, if you missed it, Max Fried was named an alternate. He's going to replace Ranger Suarez. So 3 out of the 5 starters for the Braves are in the All-Star game. But at the same time, you need to look at the offense and say, eh. I mean, it's very – you talk about the Hawks being frustrating. How about Matt Olson and Austin Riley and when Michael Harris was in there, Sean Murphy, all these guys really haven't done it consistently at all season. So I think it's, yeah, 10 games above 500. I think you can argue they are lucky to be there, E.
We are lucky to be here. So I'm looking up. Okay, so Lopez is going tonight.
Yep.
Which gives him just enough time off, right? Because if – I thought it was if you pitch in the last series, you can't. But it's if you pitch on the last day. So Sale is scheduled to go Sunday. That's why Sale cannot pitch in the All-Star game. Lopez is pitching tonight, so he can't start the All-Star game, but he is eligible to be an arm. I think I got that right, Wilson.
Well, they already named Paul Skenes as the starter anyway. So
rookie sensation. That's crazy.
So we don't need to worry about that. But, yeah, I hope we get to see Lopez. Because I think it's most important for Lopez. Because that would be a coming-out party for him. Nobody knows who the heck he is.
Yeah.
People are looking at Reynaldo Lopez being on the All-Star team right now, and they're asking, who is that?
Absolutely. So. All right, let's keep it going here on this week's edition of the Producer Six-Pack. Midsummer Summer League going on in Vegas. Our guy, Caleb Johnson, I'm a little jealous of him out there, enjoying himself. So the first major injury of the Summer League has gone down as the Denver Nuggets lose their first round pick. You know, what is your goal to see for the Atlanta Hawks as their squad is out there? Just to get them some reps? We definitely want them to come back healthy. What would you like to see once the Summer League is over? You want them to win the Summer League championship, which some people don't really know they do actually crown a Summer League
champion? Yeah, no, I don't care about that. I just want to see development. I want to know that Reese Hoshea is ready to go game one. That's what I want to see. I want to collect as much data on that. So play him, run him, have him play major minutes, have him be the focal point of the offense, which it looked like they were doing last night, and get him ready to go because I think he's starting. I mean, is DeAndre Hunter going to keep his spot? I don't – why? Like, you know, at this point, we kind of know what DeAndre Hunter is.
I don't think DeAndre Hunter wants that spot. He said it. He don't want to be in the starting lineup doesn't mean nothing to him.
So bring him off the bench. So that's what I want to see. I want to see get Reese Hoshea as close to ready to go as possible. And then I'm not going to lie, as we talked about with Caleb, I'm intrigued by Yurisich. I think he looked pretty good last night. So let's see what we can get out of those two guys.
All right, rolling along here on the Producer Six Pack. One more sports question to go. Team USA's basketball team making the news. They're over in Abu Dhabi playing warm-up games. Three guys here. I'm looking at Stephen Curry, Jason Tatum, and Booker from the Suns playing golf over in Abu Dhabi. One guy goes home. Paul George is DeClaw.
Kawhi Leonard.
He's not going to be a part of Team USA. Do you think these guys really take this seriously? They just say, look, we're going to go up, win our gold medal, and call it a day. Is any team even going to challenge?
Well, I know Steph Curry's taking it seriously because this is his first Olympics.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, he's been in every NBA title game for the last decade, so I guess he was preoccupied and a little tired after, you know, for the last couple. But, yeah, no, I think they do, especially LeBron, KD, AD. Like, it's probably going to be their last ones, those guys.
KD missed practice today, but they said it should be no big deal.
Yeah, so I think they will. I think you'll see a fully engaged squad when it's time to actually play the games. But, yeah, obviously, does LeBron need 40 minutes of practice every day? No. I mean, are they going to be fine collectively gelling as a unit? Yeah, I think that with as many NBA titles to go around between them as they are, and they have enough young guys that, you know, LeBron doesn't have to play 30 minutes a game.
No, that's Anthony Edwards' job.
Yeah.
Edwards said, this is my team now.
Jason Tatum, Derek White, they have enough young guys on this team that they'll be just fine.
All right. Let's get to the non-sports questions here on the Producer Six Pack. I haven't seen you in about 2 weeks, my man, so you know I got to follow up. How was Dad's visit? What did the two Wild Boys do while you were in town?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was I think I set a record for hours spent in a pool over that weekend. It was just a lot of grilling, cold beer, great music. We went to a couple of concerts. We did the damn thing, man. As always, it goes by way too fast, but we had a great time. Shout out to the Divine Family, as always, for being the fantastic host that they are, and I got to meet Todd's daughter's daughter for the first time, his granddaughter. Okay. Little shout out, little Goldie Divine, or Buford, rather. She is an adorable little baby, and it was first time the Uncle Chris got to meet, so it was just a great time all around.
And you went to the Confederate Pavilion up there in Alpharetta, right? That's where you went?
We went to, where was it? It was, I forget where it was, but it was a country concert. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was hot.
Yeah.
So outside, like I was dripping off my elbows. Like it was a lot. Like we came home, we just all passed out because it was it was being outside. But it was a ton of fun, man.
All right, last one. Our guy Caleb Johnson. Appreciate him joining us. He's out in Vegas. You want to talk about hot? That's hot out there. Have you ever been to Vegas? I've actually never been.
No, me either. And it's not on my probably top five bucket list of places to go. I am very non-traveled, unfortunately. I've been to the West Coast once. I went to visit my buddy out in Portland, and we went to a music festival in Washington State. That was amazing. That was beautiful. I've been to Florida, obviously. I've been up and down the East Coast, but I am so under-traveled. Like, I haven't been to New Orleans yet. I haven't been to Nashville yet.
Well, keep hanging out with Dukes and Bell. You get to all those
places.
Yeah,
eventually we'll make it.
They jump in the car and drive to those places.
Yeah. But, yeah, I want to go to Denver. I've never been to. There are so many places I want to travel. Vegas is just all stuff I've done before.
Right.
I've been to casinos. I've been to shows. I've been to, you know, cool concerts. Being from New York, you get a lot of the same stuff. So I'm a little spoiled in that regard. But I want to go to Vegas for sure, but there's probably a good five or six places I'd rather travel first.
I've never been to Vegas. Like I said, I've been to casinos. I've been to beaches. I've been to many places. The one thing that will take me to Vegas, and I don't know which one it will be, is one of my big sports news. I've done a Super Bowl. I've done a World Series. I've never been like court. I mean, of course, I like ringside at a major fight. So that's something I
know. Oh, yeah. There's your number one spot for that.
There
right
you
there.
Go. All right.
All right. Great job, Ian, the producer six pack. We'll get to some true or false questions later in the show. Coming up next, back to your calls, 404-726-0929. We just talked about it with Caleb Johnson. If the Hawks trade Trae Young, because Landry Field certainly left that open on the table, are you okay with a full rebuild? I think you should be, because I don't think this year you're winning more than 43, 44 games max. So what does it matter anyway? Like, you're not getting a fifth seed or a sixth seed even in the East. So why not get as much as you can for Trae, trade Bogey as well, and then set yourself up in the next two, three seasons to have a really, really good, young, competitive team. What are your thoughts on that? 404-726-0929. Plus, I got to let you hear something DeJounte Murray said when he got to New Orleans. You're not going to like it. Coming up next. The Hawks are so frustrating. they just are. There's really no other way to put it. We all want them to win. We all want what happened in 2021 to be the standard, not the outlier. We all want Trae Young to be a superstar, but just the decision making and the direction choosing and the lack of spark and energy that the front office has provided the fan base over the last couple of years. It just becomes frustrating because you want to win and you want to see a good competitive product night in and night out. And hopefully with the addition of Yurisic and Risa Shea, you get that next season, whether Trae Young's on the roster or not. But right now, it's an uphill battle. Let's just put it that way. Back to your calls at 404-726-0929 coming up next hour. But right now, let's get some levity and brevity into the program with Producer Sixpack.
Time for the Producer Sixpack on the other side of the glass.
Six questions.
Six questions.
Six chances to produce greatness.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All righty, let's get this edition of the Producer Sixpack underway. And we're looking forward to this. So, you know, Chris, I'm going to tell you what, man. When me and you make it to the pinnacle, to the top, whatever this career is going to take us, we're going to take a weekend trip one time. We're going to say, hey, man, you know, it's been a while since we've seen each other. Meet me in Baltimore because the Orioles are playing the Yankees. And we're going to sit back. I'm going to take you out for some crab cakes. And then we're going to go to the game and watch a brawl break out.
Yeah, right? How about that?
What's going on with our squads, man?
Yeah, man. You know, they've been neck and neck for the division all year. And if you missed it, it was a downpour. And the Yankees closer Clay Holmes. Pitch got away from him, and it clocked one of the Orioles players in the helmet. It was a scary scene. It was not intentional. It was pouring rain outside, and the pitch got away from him. But the Orioles didn't see it that way. And their entire organization charged at the Yankees. Guys coming out of the bullpen.
I think Cal Ripken and Eddie Berry came out of Brooks Robinson.
I mean, that was – it was, and then it was Street Fighter from that point on, man. It was
– I must kill you.
Yeah, go look it up on Twitter or YouTube if you haven't seen it. But that's – you know what that is? That's saying, you know, I have your number, you have mine. We're probably going to meet in the playoffs, and there's not a lot of good blood. This is not, 10, 15 years ago when the Yankees used to just roll into Baltimore and, sweep them and, take three out of four. Like, it was just another yawny Saturday morning in Baltimore. The Orioles are damn good. So I think that's just a sign of things to come, E.
Oh, yeah, man. No, look, we had our down years. We've had number one picks that didn't pan out, and now we've got number one picks playing like number one picks. These are all homegrown Orioles draft picks that are young and exciting. It's a great time to be a Orioles fan, and it's always a great time to be a Yankees fan, and I'm half of each, so it's a great time for me. I wish I was just in my hometown and be there at the ballpark tonight to see what fireworks could happen again. All right, roll along on the six-pack. Well, the Braves are closing out the first half on a positive note. Now, Sale is going, I think, tonight. So the announcement just came out that he'll be in Texas on Tuesday, but he is no longer eligible to pitch in the world. I mean, I'm sorry, in the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star game. But what do you think about what the Braves are doing as they close out? You know, we are, once again, they're 10 games over 500 is kind of like our threshold. We can't get to 11 or 12. We go down to 8 or 9, but 10 games over 500 is our number. Is that what we are?
Well, it's interesting because a couple of seasons ago, the same thing kept happening, but it was with 500. So at least now you're talking about 10 games over 500, right? Yeah, I mean, that's about where the Braves are because they're still not a good offensive team. They're relying heavily on their starting pitching, and that's why, if you missed it, Max Fried was named an alternate. He's going to replace Ranger Suarez. So three out of the five starters for the Braves are in the All-Star game. But at the same time, you need to look at the offense and say, eh. I mean, it's very – you talk about the Hawks being frustrating. How about Matt Olson and Austin Riley and when Michael Harris was in there, Sean Murphy, all these guys really haven't done it consistently at all season. So I think it's – yeah, 10 games above 500. I think you can argue they are lucky to be there, E.
We are lucky to be here, so I'm looking up. Okay, so Lopez is going tonight.
Yep.
Which gives him just enough time off, right? Because if – I thought it was if you pitch in the last series, you can, but it's if you pitch on the last day. So Sale is scheduled to go Sunday. That's why Sale cannot – pitch in the All-Star game. Lopez is pitching tonight, so he can't start the All-Star game, but he is eligible to be an arm. I think I got that right, Wilson.
Well, they already named Paul Skenes as the starter anyway. So
rookie sensation. That's crazy.
So we don't need to worry about that. But, yeah, I hope we get to see Lopez because I think it's most important for Lopez because that would be a coming-out party for him. Nobody knows who the heck he is.
Yeah.
People are looking at Reynaldo Lopez being on the All-Star team right now, and they're asking, who is that?
Absolutely. So. All right, let's keep it going here on this week's edition of the Producer Six Pack. Midsummer, summer league going on in Vegas. Our guy, Caleb Johnson, I'm a little jealous of him out there enjoying himself. So the first major injury of the summer league has gone down as the Denver Nuggets lose their first round pick. You know, what is your goal to see for the Atlanta Hawks as their squad is out there? Just to get them some reps. We definitely want them to come back healthy. What would you like to see once the summer league is over? You want them to win the summer league championship, which some people don't really know they do actually crown a summer league
championship? Yeah, no, I don't care about that. I just want to see development. I want to know that Reese Shea is ready to go game one. That's what I want to see. I want to collect as much data on that. So play him, run him, have him play major minutes, have him be the focal point of the offense, which it looked like they were doing last night, and get him ready to go because I think he's starting. I mean, is DeAndre Hunter going to keep his spot? I don't – why? Like, you know, at this point, we kind of know what DeAndre Hunter is.
I don't think DeAndre Hunter wants that spot. He said it. He don't want it. He, being in the starting lineup doesn't mean nothing to him.
So bring him off the bench. So that's what I want to see. I want to see get Reese Shea as close to ready to go as possible. And then I'm not going to lie, as we talked about with Caleb, I'm intrigued by Urišić. I think he looked pretty good last night. So let's see what we can get out of those two guys.
All right. Rolling along here on the Producer Six Pack. One more sports question to go. Team USA's basketball team making the news. They're over in Abu Dhabi playing warm-up games. Three guys here. I'm looking at Stephen Curry, Jason Tatum, and Booker from the Suns playing golf over in Abu Dhabi. One guy goes home. Paul George is DeClaw.
Kawhi Leonard.
He's not going to be a part of Team USA. Do you think these guys really take this seriously? They just say, look, we're going to go up, win our gold medal, and call it a day. Is any team even going to challenge?
Well, I know Steph Curry's taking it seriously because this is his first Olympics.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, he's been in every NBA title game for the last decade, so I guess he was
a little preoccupied
and a little tired after, you know, for the last couple. But, yeah, no, I think they do, especially LeBron, KD, AD. Like, it's probably going to be their last ones, those guys.
KD missed practice today, but they said it should be no big deal.
Yeah. So I think they will. I think you'll see a fully engaged squad when it's time to actually play the games. But, yeah, obviously, does LeBron need 40 minutes of practice every day? No. I mean, are they going to be fine collectively gelling as a unit? Yeah, I think that with as many NBA titles to go around between them as they are, and they have enough young guys that you know, LeBron doesn't have to play 30 minutes a game.
No, that's Anthony Edwards' job.
Yeah.
Edwards said, this is my team now.
Edwards.
He said, this is my team.
Yeah,
that's
Jason
crazy.
Tatum, Derek White. They have enough young guys on this team that they'll be just fine.
All right. Let's get to the non-sports questions here on the Producer Six Pack. I haven't seen you in about 2 weeks, my man, so you know I got to follow up. How was Dad's visit? What did the two Wild Boys do while you were in town?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was, I think I set a record for hours spent in a pool over that weekend. It was just a lot of grilling, cold beer, great music. We went to a couple of concerts. We did the damn thing, man. It, as always, it goes by way too fast, but we had a great time. Shout out to the Divine family, as always, for being the fantastic host that they are, and I got to meet Todd's daughter's daughter for the first time, his granddaughter.
Okay.
Little shout out, little Goldie Divine, or Buford, rather. She is an adorable little baby, and it was first time the Uncle Chris got to meet, so it was just a great time all around.
And you went to the Conference Pavilion up there in Alpharetta, right? That's where you went?
We went to, where was it? It was, I forget where it was, but it was a country concert. It was pretty cool. I mean, it was hot.
Yeah.
So outside, like I was dripping off my elbows. Like it was a lot. Like we came home, we just all passed out because it was it was being outside. But it was a ton of fun, man.
All right, last one. Our guy Caleb Johnson. Appreciate him joining us. He's out in Vegas. We'll talk about hot. That's hot out there. Have you ever been to Vegas? I've actually never been.
No, me either. And it's not on my probably top five bucket list of places to go. I am very non-traveled, unfortunately. I've been to the West Coast once. I went to visit my buddy out in Portland, and we went to a music festival in Washington State. That was amazing. That was beautiful. I've been to Florida, obviously. I've been up and down the East Coast, but I am so under-traveled. Like, I haven't been to New Orleans yet. I haven't been to Nashville yet.
Well, keep hanging out with Dukes and Bell. You get to all those places.
Yeah, eventually we'll
make
it.
They jump in the car and drive to those places.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But, yeah, I want to go to Denver. I've never been to. There's so many places I want to travel. Vegas is just all stuff I've done before.
Right.
I've been to casinos. I've been to shows. I've been to, you know, cool concerts. Being from New York, you get a lot of the same stuff. So I'm a little spoiled in that regard. But I want to go to Vegas for sure, but there's probably a good five or six places I'd rather travel first.
I've never been to Vegas. Like I said, I've been to casinos. I've been to beaches. I've been to many places. The one thing that will take me to Vegas, and I don't know which one it will be, is one of my big sports dudes. I've done Super Bowl. I've done World Series. I've never been like ringside at a major fight. So that's something I need.
Oh, yeah. There's your number one spot for that.
There you go.
All right. Great job, Ian, the Producer Six Pack. We'll get to some true or false questions later in the show. Coming up next, back to your calls, 404-726-0929. We just talked about it with Caleb Johnson. If the Hawks trade Trae Young, because Landry Field certainly left that open on the table, are you okay with a full rebuild? I think you should be, because I don't think this year you're winning more than 43, 44 games max. So what does it matter anyway? Like, you're not getting a fifth seed or a sixth seed even in the East. So why not get as much as you can for Trae, trade Bogey as well, and then set yourself up in the next two, three seasons to have a really, really good, young, competitive team. What are your thoughts on that? 404-726-0929. Plus, I got to let you hear something DeJounte Murray said when he got to New Orleans. You're not going to like it. Coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.